27. If you have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to bring you a brief, simple message this morning on the plan of salvation. And I want you to pray this morning for those here who have never been saved. Never taken the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and only hope for heaven. I feel like it might be just a little warm in here, and when it is warm, you squirm too much. So, Brother John, you might just bump the air conditioner on just a little bit. And I want all you teenagers to look up here at me and be still. Now, the reason you're sitting too close together, you're about 40 of you jammed on that one pew back there. And spread out, man. You'll have plenty, the rest of your life. One of these days, you'll hate to see them people coming. So, get a little breathing room in between you, and it won't be so hot. And I need you to be real quiet, and don't be chewing. Don't be chewing while I'm preaching. That's against the law. Okay? Swallow it. Glue your insides together. There you go. There you go. It didn't kill you, did it? Now, all you mamas and daddies, swallow that backer, too. It'd be like that old woman. Somebody said, they said, do you think it's a sin to smoke? She said, yes, sir, I sure do. I said, believe it'll go to hell. She said, anybody burn something that tastes that good, I'll go to hell. So I won't see you chewing nothing while we're in the preaching the message this morning. Matthew 27. Verse 22. Question of all questions. Most important question you'll ever ask yourself is in Matthew 27, verse 22. Please read it with me. Give me your attention and be still just for a few minutes as we bring the message. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There's your question, brethren. That's the great question of all time. Let's read it again. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Now, you know the context of this question that Pilate asked. Pilate had Jesus Christ right in front of him. He had power to release him or to have him crucified. Jesus told Pilate that he couldn't have any power except God gave it to him. But what he's saying here, what am I going to do with Jesus? The question you need to ask yourself this morning is, what are you as a man, a woman, a boy or a girl going to do with Jesus Christ? I'm preaching to you this morning who are not Christians. The rest of you, you pray during the message, and you pray that God will open somebody's heart here today. I guess I'm a Bible believer, and I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that the Holy Ghost of God has to take the Word of God and open somebody's heart and eyes for them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. All eternity hinges on this question. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Every teacher, look at me just for a moment. What are you going to do with Jesus? Every daddy, look at me just for a moment. What are you, sir, going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, I'm going to go to church every time I get a chance. I didn't ask you that. You say, I'm going to try to raise family right. Didn't ask you that. I'm asking you what you, as an individual with a free choice, will do with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift to us was freedom of choice. The Lord made us all robots. He could have made us like angels and said, you'll worship me or else. You don't even have a choice. But God left us with a choice for the Lord Jesus Christ. You either accept Him or, of course, you reject Him. Let me say, first of all this morning, the necessity of your decision. I'm going to tell you four things that everybody in here has to do. Like it or not, we're living in a generation who does not like to be told they have to do something. We're living in a generation who will look at you and say, you're not going to tell me what I have to do and what I don't have to do because I ain't going to listen. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to tell you four things everybody in here has to do. Going to have to. You say, well, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You say, well, I didn't ask to be born. But you were, wasn't you? If anybody in here wasn't born, you can go ahead and leave right now. This won't help you a bit. If you was hatched or come from outer space, I ain't got nothing to help you at all. I guess everybody in here was born. You came as a little baby like this one over here, and you grew up. That puts you in this mess whether you like it or not. You say, well, I didn't ask to be born, but you were. And there's nothing you can do about it now. And you're facing eternity. When you come into this world, you're a little bitty baby. You get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and meaner and bigger and bigger and meaner and bigger and meaner. And you keep going. And then one day, you're off the other side and you die. You was born, you die. You came in, you go out. You're somewhere in between there and there right now. Now, during that time, you, my friend, are going to have to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are. Number one, you either accept Him or reject Him. There is no middle ground. You either accept Him or reject Him. That's all there is to it. Now, what if I took a card this morning and I wrote on this card, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, coming back from heaven. Do you, so-and-so, accept Him or reject? Right up here it said accept, a box. Reject, a box. I take the paper down here. I start it right here with these fellows, and I say, sign it. And he hands it to him, sign it. 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 It's coming around to all of y'all on this side. It's coming to each one of you. It's coming to all y'all. Coming to all y'all over there. You got to sign it. I accept Jesus my Savior. No, I reject Jesus Christ as my Savior. You say, now, Brother Danny, I just wouldn't sign it. I'm not ready to make a decision. Your decision's made. You reject Him. There's no middle ground. You can't say, well, listen, if you don't take it, you refuse it. Right? All right, watch this. Say, I'm going to give one of these boys a gold offering plate. Ray, I'm going to give you an offering plate. All right, he took it. What if he says, Danny, I ain't make no decision today. I say, oh, come on, take it. He says, I ain't going to make no decision today. He's already made a decision, right? He's made a decision not to take it. Now, that's the way Jesus Christ is this morning. The Lord's up here. He's moving around by His Spirit in heaven. He's knocking at your heart's door. He's knocking at your heart's door. Every man, woman, boy, girl in here, the Lord's knocking at your heart's door. You say, I want You, Lord. Good move. You say, I'm not ready. You have chosen to shut Him out. You must accept Him or reject Him. Don't get mad at me. I can't help it. That's just the way it is. You must accept Him or reject Him. Listen, number two, you must let Him in or... Listen carefully. Everybody listen. You must let Him in or shut Him out. Everybody in this church today, you must let the Lord Jesus Christ in or shut Him out. Listen now. When I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, there was a great crowd of people there. Christians pray. When I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, there was a great crowd of people there. There was people there who accepted the Lord. There was people there that rejected God. There was people there that night who came to that altar and said, oh God, have mercy on me. And there was people that stood back there and said, Not me. There was people that day who said, I'll open the door of my heart. Come in, Lord Jesus. There was people there that night who said, the door's shut. You can come in. If you come in, I'd have to quit doing some things I like to do. And I don't want to quit doing them. The door of my heart's shut. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, the smartest move I've ever made in my born days, was that I came and opened up my heart and said, Lord, I'm going to let you in. You see, all eternity hinges on the question of the Lord Jesus either in your heart or not. Let me try to clear up something here. It's very prevalent in this part of the country. Now, this is what we call the Bible Belt. North Carolina especially, being the buckle on the Bible Belt. South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky and West Virginia and Virginia and down around Georgia and the top part of Florida and out towards Alabama and toward this side of Texas. They call it the Bible Belt. In the Bible Belt, you have a lot of people who know there's a God, know the Bible's true, know there's a heaven, know there's a hell, but they believe that you got to be good to go to heaven. And you got to live up to a certain standard in order to go to heaven when you die. We've been studying this in our Sunday school class over in our new converts class, and I might need to pass that right on to you this morning to explain it to you. Everywhere I go, I meet people and I say, you want to get saved? And they'll say this. They'll say, I don't think I can live it. They'll say, I'm just not ready. They'll say, when I think I can do it and live like a Christian, then I'll get saved. And they have the idea that a person has to live up to a certain level of right in order to get to heaven. Now, there's tons of people in this building this morning. Those that's in Jesus Christ, those that's outside of Jesus Christ, those that's on their way to heaven, those that's on their way to hell. There's no middle ground. There's no in between. Everybody in this church today is either saved or lost. It's like this. Say God is here in heaven. Sinners down here on this earth. Sam, come here just a second. I want Brother Sam to stand right here. And Sam here is going to represent God. I know it's a sorry excuse for it, but I'm just going to use him right now. He is going to represent God in heaven, okay? Now you picture, here's God in heaven. God's looking down on all these people in the world. He's up there looking down on us. Now, here's a sinner. Greg, you stand up right there and be the sinner. Good example. Good example. Greg is going to be the sinner. Here he is. He's a sinner. And this sinner reaches out and says, oh God, I want to go to heaven. God, I want to go to heaven. God, I want to go to heaven. And God says, sure, you can come into heaven. And Greg says, oh boy, can I come right now? And the Lord says, well, have you ever sinned? And he says, yep, and bows his head. And the Lord says, you can't come in here. There ain't no sin getting this place. Only perfect people can come here to heaven. Stay there just a second. How many of you people in here believe that you sin in heaven or you'll sin when you get to heaven? Nobody believes that. You got to be perfect to go to heaven. Why say that? I'm going to tell you why I said it. How many of you folks in here have ever told a lie? Raise your hand if you've told a lie. Well, you that didn't raise your hand, you're the biggest liars in here. Okay. All right. Biggest crowd of liars I've preached to in a while. All right. Now listen, you've told a lie. You say, nah, I don't believe I've ever told a lie, preacher. You hadn't, huh? Let's see. Did you ever make your mom think you cleaned up a house when you didn't clean up a house? Any people in here ever stole something? Raise your hand. Get them up there, you dirty, rotten sinners. Did you ever look at somebody else's, get some answer on a test at school from somebody else? Okay, you stole. Quit lying. All right. Biggest crowd of thieves I've preached to in a while. Thieves and liars, that's all we got in our church. Well, Brother Danny, it wasn't... All right, well, you're a foot too, brother. We're sinners! We're sinners! We're liars, we're thieves, and I can name some other things, but I don't want to embarrass you. All right, you know what that does? That stops us from going to heaven. You don't go to heaven with sin. You don't go to heaven because you've got sins in your life. God won't let sin in heaven. God says, no, Greg, you can't get in here because you've lied and you've stole and a bunch of other things that I ain't going to name. Greg said, but oh God, what am I going to do? About that time the Bible said, so loved the world. That he was. Stand up, Vince. I'm going to let Vince represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand right over here. Stretch out your hands. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you get that? Hey, do you look around. You see this choir up here singing in front of y'all this morning? Just stay right there, fellow. There's a plan of salvation right here in front of you. Listen, folks. You see people was up here singing a while ago? Some of them used to be the sorriest low-down bunch in McDowell County. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many of you people smoked pot and was on drugs before you got saved? Raise your hand. Look around at you. Look around here. How many of you drunk liquor or beer before you got saved? Look at this. Sorriest bunch of people. We all ought to be in jail, man. Listen. You know why? You know how come I got my hair cut and I got a King James Bible waving it around, boy, and I'm going to heaven? Because I believe that he sent his son for sin. And when I trusted him, God says, God does this. Greg gets down, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, Greg. That's my job. Thou shalt be saved, Greg. You can't make it by yourself. You need him. And Greg's, hush, you ain't saved yet. He's about to shout on me here and he ain't even saved. All right, Greg, you need the Lord Jesus. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. And Greg says, but I'm trying the best I can, man. I'm on cocaine and shooting up every day and I'm drinking liquor and everything else and running around on my girlfriend and I'm in bad shape, preacher. Yeah, but Greg, you, I know you can't be good enough and God knows you can't be good enough, but there's a man. Get your hands up. There's a man who lived a perfect life. 33 and a half years. Not one sin. Every time he put his foot down, it was God's will for him to put his foot down. Every time he put something in his mouth, it's God's will for him to put something in his mouth. Every time he opened it and swore, it was God's perfect will for him to say that word. God says, you can't come in here unless you're perfect, Greg. Greg says, well, I can't be perfect. And the Lord said, hey, there's a perfect man. Trust him. Greg comes to Calvary. And Greg gets down. He said, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then... Okay, you can put him down now, brother. He's a perfect life. He stands in between Greg. Get right there, man. In between Greg and God. You can tell we had this planned out. Look, he come in between Greg and God. Now, Greg says, hallelujah, I'm saved. Greg says, I'm in Jesus Christ. God looks at Greg now and he says, Greg, since you trusted Jesus, you're perfect. I'm going to take that perfect life that Jesus lived and put it on you. And Greg says, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as perfect and not as I am. That's the way the Lord sees you this morning when you get saved. That's why a bunch of old drunks and drug addicts in here can wave their hands and say, hallelujah. That's why. Because of what he done. Because of what he done. Not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy on the cross. He saved us. That's why you have to come to Jesus Christ. Buddha can't do that for you. Muhammad can't do that for you. No religion in the world can do what Jesus done. And I don't care what your problem is here this morning. You may be a wicked sinner. You may say, oh, preacher, you just don't know how bad I am. But I'm telling you, man, you can have eternal life.
If you'll come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you got to confess Him or deny Him. And the fourth thing is you got to be for him or against him.
You see how you go to heaven now? You trust Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm not worthy.
Who is?
Join the crowd, man. You say, well, what? I just don't think I can live it. Nobody can live it. That's how you get saved. You get saved by trusting in the only one who ever did live it. Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I believe you got to get saved and then you got to live it. Well, if you got to live it to go to heaven, you're in bad shape, and I am too, because there ain't nobody living a perfect life in this world. And don't give me that baloney. I know you're not. You say, well, I'm perfect. Yeah, I've seen your wife grin when you said that too. One guy came in, a preacher sat down and started talking to him. He said, well, I live a perfect life. And his kids went, Daddy. You ain't perfect. Don't give me that baloney. You need a Savior, brother. You need a Savior. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Can you understand that? So, when the Lord looks at Greg now, He don't see Greg. When we look at Greg, we see Greg. When God looks at Greg, He sees Jesus. Amen? All right, y'all can sit down. You must accept Him or reject Him. Let me say, the importance of this decision is this. You are spared or condemned before God, depending on what you do with Jesus Christ. Now, you think about that. Think about if the police, say the Gestapo or Mafia or a bunch of rebels came in here with guns. Excuse me. And they came in here this morning and they started lining us up and they held rifles up here. And they started aiming them at every one of us. And they said, all right, we're going to shoot. And they said, anybody in here who's a quarter in their pocket gets to live. And anybody in here who don't have a quarter is going to die. You say, but I'm a good person. Don't matter. Where's your quarter? You say, but listen now, I'll be on y'all's side. I'll do anything. I'll work for the mafia. Shut up. You got a quarter or not? You are spared or condemned according to whether or not you got that quarter. And when God looks down here, He ain't saying, well, there's good people, there's bad people. Them good people deserve to go to heaven. Them bad people deserve to go to hell. God don't look at us as good people and bad people. God said there's none good. No, not one. So the Lord says, who's got the blood? Anybody got the blood? If you got the blood, you get to heaven. If you got the blood of Jesus on you, if you don't, you go to hell. That's how important your decision is. No one can have this kind of peace through just religion. Joy. Let me say next, the finality of your decision. This thing's final, brother. There's no change in your mind after you're gone. The Bible says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. The condition that you die in, your heart's ticking this morning. The condition that you die in is the condition you spend eternity in. You die saved or lost. You hear me? You don't change after you're dead. I was preaching up in Michigan. And we was witnessing or talking to this girl. And she come up and she asked us. She had just had a friend who had got killed. I think OD'd on drugs and something. And she had died just. And she said it was a strong Catholic community up there. And they're praying for people in purgatory, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And she asked me and asked us, she said, is there any hope for my friend? And we looked back at her and said, honey, there's no hope for your friend right now if she died and went to hell. If she went to heaven or whatever, if she got saved in the last moment or whatever, she's all right. Nobody knows that. But we said there is no hope for somebody when their heart quits beating and their brain dies and their life goes out of them. That's it. It's a final decision. Some people have the idea, I can just live like a devil, and if I die, my loved ones will pray and pray and pray, and God will have mercy on me and let me out of hell. No, He won't. It's final. It's final. Number four, let me say this. The consequences of your decision. Eternal heaven and eternal hell depends on what you do with Jesus. Don't you know that's why the devil tries to get people so wrapped up in religion? Because he don't care how religious we are. He don't care how good we are. He don't care how many good deeds we do. Who cares? As long as you don't come to Jesus Christ, the devil's satisfied with you. You listen to me? You listen? Well, Brother Danny, I'm just don't feel like I'm ready to get saved. Listen, brother. Listen to me. The devil will make you believe that till he's got you in hell burning and screaming. In hell this morning, there's people who sit on church pews just like you sat and are sitting today, and they sit there one day. There's probably people who used to sit right there in these seats you're sitting on right now, who's right now screaming in hell, and they're saying, oh God, let me out of here. But it's too late. When you die, it's over. That's it. And the bad thing about it is, somebody in here right now this morning is on your way to death. Pilate made an awful mistake, friend. You say, what's that, preacher? Pilate tried to be neutral. He said, I'll just wash him off my hands. I ain't going to accept him. I ain't going to reject him. I ain't going to condemn him. I ain't going to confess him. I ain't going to believe in him, but I ain't going to throw off on him neither. I'm just going to be neutral. As far as we know this morning, Pilate is in hell for rejecting the Son of God. No decision is the wrong decision. I know that's putting a heavy weight on you this morning. But God knows my heart. I'd love to see you come down here this morning and do what Greg did. Trust Jesus Christ. Brother Danny, I'm a sinner and I don't think I can live it. Join the crowd. That's where the boat was all in. But if I could just get you this morning to come and say, dear God, I know I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sins. But I believe Christ died for my sins. And trust Him. You could walk out of here, out of this building this morning, get in your car, and know that you're a saved man or a saved woman. May God help you to do it today. Stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, please help us keep it quiet, mamas. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, and the Lord's dealing with you, we're going to give an invitation. In just a moment, you'll have opportunity to come. In the next few minutes, maybe the most important of your life. God wants to do something for you this morning. The Lord wants to save you today. He died on the cross for your sins. He sure did. He did. Thank God He did. And you can be saved this morning. Some of you have been waiting. You've been waiting and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Why don't you make that step this morning? Will you do it? While our heads are bowed, while our eyes are closed, no one's looking around, no talking, Christians are praying. I wonder, friend, if you wouldn't just get out of your seat right there from where you are this morning. Make your way down here to this altar. There'll be somebody here, one of these boys, one of these preachers up here. They can take a Bible and show you how you can get in, how you can get saved this morning. Do you want to? Brother Danny, I'm here this morning and I'm not saved.
I don't know where I'd go if I died right now. I'd go to hell. There's never been a time, listen to me, young people. There's never been a time when I've trusted the Lord as my Savior, but I want the church to pray for me this morning. Would you raise your hand that we can pray for you? Bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you back there. I see your hand, young lady. Anyone else? Anyone else? Say, Brother Danny, pray for me. I need Jesus in my heart. Okay? God bless you. Don't be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. Now, this is serious business. This is too important to worry about your pride and what somebody's going to think. This is your soul you're dealing with, friend. You're talking about heaven and hell. We ain't talking about a joke. This is real. I see your hand. No talking. Christians are praying. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if you that raised your hand and say, Brother Danny, I'm sick and tired of this old life. I don't go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want my life to be ruined. Well, I want to tell you something. Right now is as good a time as you'll ever have to settle this thing between you and God. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm going to come on down here right now and let's pray. Come on. If God's... say, come. Maybe someone that's confused and needs their assurance. It may be someone who's never been saved. Would you come? Would you come right now? Come on, come on. If God spoke to your heart and you need to get it right this morning between you and Jesus, why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Will you? Will you come? Don't you be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. You just get on out of that seat. God brought you here for a reason this morning, my friend. The Lord wants to do something in your life. Don't say no. Don't turn Him down. Don't say no to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Open your heart's door this morning. How about it? How about it, Dad? How about it, Mom? How about it, young lady? How about it, teenager, visitor, church member? There's never been a time when you opened up your heart and said, Jesus, come in. Why don't you do that right now? Christians, pray now. I'm going to wait one more minute. Somebody's in the balance. This could be somebody's last chance. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come right now? Would you come right now? Would you come right now? Come on. Come on, this is your chance. This is your opportunity, ma'am. This is your opportunity, sir. Christians are praying. You'll never have a better time for you to just get this thing right between you and God. You say, Brother Danny, there's a lot of people here. It don't matter. All these people love you and are praying for you. They'll do anything they can to help you. Please come. Please come while you've got a chance. We're going to wait about 20 seconds. Then we'll go. Anybody? Anybody else? Thank God for these that are here. Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray for these that have come. Father, we do thank you. We praise you that people have had their eyes open this morning. People have responded to the gospel. Lord, we know it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank you this morning, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you did love us enough to die on a cross for our sins. Lord, we love you for that, and we're happy about it this morning. But our hearts are heavy for those that are here who are not saved, those that have never trusted you as their Savior. Please open their eyes, turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. This morning we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, while these are still praying, we want you to wait just a moment while these are still praying. Those that are joining the church, come on up here right quickly. We always talk to people. Oh, okay. We got some stuff here for the Mark's little baby. What about that? Anybody got something else you want to throw in there? Hey, you ought to come around here and throw them something in there this morning. You say, well, I ain't got nothing for a baby. Oh, yes, you do. I know something that cost me $19 a box. $19 a box, brother, and I've been buying them things for years. Just bought some yesterday, the day before. So put $19 in there. Give them something this morning. We'll have them a little shower right here. Their shower, you know, we didn't get to announce it. A lot of people didn't even know it. So let's give Gina a little shower this morning. Amen. Get them a crib. Get them a few things like that. All right. Anybody else that we've talked to about in the church? This is Brother Charles and Sister Linda Horney. This is Brother Richard Horney's brother, folks. Most of you know him, Brother Richard. He's preached down here a lot. And he's been blessing and been coming church here for some time, and told me they wanted to join up, and we praised the Lord for them, visited with them in their home yesterday evening, and so they've both been saved, baptized, and just want to unite with the church since they've moved here to McDowell County. So does someone want to make the motion to receive them into the church? Motion's been made. Second, all in favor, let me know. An uplifted hand. We'll give you an opportunity to come around and shake their hands, welcome them into the church, and then also drop something in the box here, okay? Be sure and see our missionary, our printing ministry missionary this morning. Have a little fellowship. 7 o'clock tonight, bring somebody with you. God bless.